right, we're gonna do an open microphone sharing of testimonies now. If you want to just pray and ask if you should share, I have a caveat that it has to be in a minute or 2 minutes. We may have a number of people who want to share, so we just got to try to get everyone keeping it short. So if you're feeling led to come up, I'm going to bring the microphone around. If you want to sit in your seat, that's fine. If you're not comfortable sharing up the front or standing up the front, I'd love to bring the microphone around. I'll start and break the ice. My testimony this week, not a miraculous testimony, but a testimony of God interrupting your days, sprinkling love on you, and letting you know that he's thinking of you. About 15 years ago, went through a pretty hard season, and the Lord gave me 3 songs, and they were secular songs. They were almost written by God, sung through a secular person to a secular world. If you read the lyrics, you would think it's a worship song. God's heart on display. And every time I needed the Lord, at some point throughout the last 15 years, these three songs, one of them has played. I've heard it in the jungle in northern Thailand. God interrupting you, letting him know, reminding him that he is there with you. He's sprinkling love on you. On Wednesday, I had to drive to Coffs Harbour for work, and I was a bit, I don't know, just 4 hours in the car by yourself, not real fun. And I prayed, and the Lord said to me, stop at Nabiak, the farmer's artisan bakery up there on the way up. And it was so strong. The Spirit was so strong, and I thought, wow, someone needs Jesus or something's going on. Anyway, I got there and I walked in, and the Spirit was so thick walking through those doors. And one of these songs was playing. These are 15-year-old songs. They shouldn't be on the radio. One of these songs was playing, and I immediately broke into tears. I'm there waiting for my coffee. Trying to order my coffee. I'm there waiting, just going, wow, God, you've interrupted my day. This was not about other people. This was about you interrupting me and showing me, sprinkling love on me. I'm with you, son. And as I got my coffee, I started walking out. That's another song, one of those 3 songs played directly after it. So I stayed in there. I was a mess. I was a total mess. But afterwards, I walked out and hopped in the car, and the Lord said to me, that was about you. I wanted to be with you. So it doesn't have to be miraculous, but the testimony is that God wants you. He'll do anything. He's trying to get your attention. So, all right, I'm going to open up the microphone now. Does anyone want to put their hand up before the Holy Spirit volunteers them? Me, I've put you on the spot. I'm joking. Oh, here we go, Di.
My story isn't straight away in the 6 months, but in 2016, I'm actually a living testimony of God's goodness. In 2016, I was diagnosed with a disease called idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, which is a bit of a mouthful. and the doctor said that it could be terminal. But when I came home and told my family, my daughter said to me, she said, Mum, we're not doing terminal. And it's now 8 years. They say about 5 years is your lifetime from being diagnosed. And I'm 8 years. My GP says I'm that healthy by all my accounts of all my tests and things. My lung doctor says he wishes all his patients were like me. And so God is so good. I'm just so amazed. That the only thing, I get a bit breathless, but my lungs haven't changed since the original diagnosis. So how good is God?
Bless God. Praise him. He's so good. Aaron.
My testimony is something from last year, so it is a little bit longer than 6 months. I used to work up in Dungog, so I used to have to cross the highway up there. I'm not normally an anxious person, don't normally get worried about that sort of stuff, driving. I used to love driving up there. Great time for worship and listening to a sermon. I was in the company of somebody and they were talking about that road being very dangerous. You've got to look out for cars, you know, you can get hit very easily, la, la, la. And I actually took on that lie, that belief. I was like, oh, yeah, it is a bit of a dangerous road. Okay, I better be careful. And over the next month or so, I started to get really anxious about crossing that road. And I drive this road all the time, like it wasn't an issue, never had a problem with it. And I started to get really worked up. I got to the point where I was starting to get anxious at work, like at lunchtime, about my drive home. Oh, no, I've got to cross that road. Oh, far out, what's going to happen? And the Lord reminded me that I needed to actually do Philippians 4, and I'll read it to you. Philippians 4. Do not be anxious. It starts at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So the Lord asked me to give up that anxiety, give it up to Him, and to focus on Him carrying that burden. He's going to get me home. I don't have to be worried. And then with that came His peace. So by me giving it up and petitioning, God, help me cross this road safely. And once I actually asked for forgiveness of actually believing for that lie, like, oh, Lord, sorry I believe this. Like, seriously, I'm such an idiot. Like, you know, you look after me all the time. I had His peace. But I had to work it out. It took me, I was just telling Olive and Ava, it took me about 2 or 3 weeks after that to actually go, okay, God, I'm going to cross this road. You're going to be with me and I'm going to be fine. And each time I petitioned and prayed and gave it to Him, the peace just came like a flood. It was amazing. And so I hop on the road now and I don't have an issue at all. But just it was a working out and I had to ask and repent for that, believing that lie. And then I had to work it out with the Lord. And He was so faithful in giving me His peace. And the funny thing was, at the end of that month, I was in the company of this person again, and the road conversation came up again. And I turned around and I said, that road's not an issue. There's nothing wrong with crossing the highway. Like, you're fine. And they went, oh, yeah, yeah, it's not actually that bad. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. So, yeah.
Amen. Someone sowing seeds of doubt. But for context, our car's a Prado manual, and it's pretty hard to drive across a freeway, so easy to stall. So, Susan.
Thanks. Hi. I shared a few weeks ago when we were dancing about the fact that I had quite a big stronghold of the spirit of rejection on my life, and that has gone and has been prayed about. But when when a couple of people know this testimony, but when that was gone, it uncovered other things that had to have prayer as well. So it uncovered unlovable. And one time at our home group, we had Jim there, and Jim recognised the unlovable spirit on me. And so it was a very stubborn spirit. It wouldn't go. And it had to be prayed for 5 times before it went. And at different times and locations over months, you know. And this year, on my birthday, we were going to the river, and my family was coming. And my mum didn't want to come. I guilted her into coming. My daughter pulled out because she was having a PTSD time, so she couldn't come. So two significant women in my life did not want to come and celebrate my birthday. Normally that would have brought me undone. One of my brothers didn't text me till after I'd gone to bed, happy birthday. The other brother didn't text me till the next day. So those 4 people in my life, that would have proven to me beyond any doubt that I was unlovable. But this time, my birthday come and went, those things happened, I'm free of unlovable.
Amen. God is good. Michael.
God is so faithful to us as individuals. And one of the things that the 4 of us here were sharing, we all came up with a common theme, and that is that God has worked in our lives and put dreams in our hearts and to stretch out and to do great things for God. And yet, when He is ready, He makes us ready. And a lot of the times when we don't see those things coming to pass, it's because he's doing a work in our lives. And we referred to the Josephs and the Moseses as examples in Scripture, who all had the Word of God and what he wanted them to do, but he needed them to be ready in some of the things that were personal to them. God is so faithful to us, and we are never, ever failures in God. He is always good to us, to lead us to the place of a victorious life in his time, because he knows what's right for us and what will preserve us in the execution of his will in our life. Prematurely, it could be destructive. He is so good for us that he just leads us by the way that we should go. So faithful, so faithful.
Amen. That's a great word, Michael. Thanks for sharing. Rachel.
So sometimes God asks me to do something that I don't want to do. And seems to be doing it a lot lately. But he wants me to be obedient. And even though I don't want to do it, I do it. But I struggle with anxiety a lot. And he has a new game with me. If I'm driving to do something that I don't want to do that he's told me to do, my car has a funny relationship with my phone, and oftentimes if I'm trying to play music from my phone, it won't work, like most of the time. When I'm going to these uncomfortable things that I have to do that because he's asked me to, he puts one song on from my phone, and it's the same song every single time, and it's I Speak Jesus. And it doesn't go up any other time. Any other time I'll press it and nothing will happen, but when I'm going to this and I'm saying, God help, please, it's that song every single time. So yeah, I know the songs and how he works. But then the other thing is we were studying Exodus and Moses, you know, God gives him a command and says, I want you to do this for me. And Moses says, but who am I, God? And I absolutely love that God's answer isn't, oh, you're Moses and you're amazing and you're incredible and you've got this. God's answer is, I will be with you. And it's just so good that it doesn't matter what we are and what we carry and what we, you know, what our gifts or abilities are. He's doing this and he's taken us and he's told us to do it. So he's going to make it happen. So, yeah.
Awesome. That's so good. All right. Is the Holy Spirit nudging anyone over this side?
Yeah, probably me. Or maybe I just like took the microphone, I don't know. This is just to really encourage people to, whatever God and your giftings are, that whether they're not like used outside this church or whatever, whether they are or they're not, I have organised my, over the years, my 10-year and 20-year high school reunion. We came up to 30 years this year, and there was a lot of momentum, and I kind of reluctantly went, yeah, okay, I'll put something together. And so it was back in Dubbo, and so it was actually last weekend. But 6 months in, I was really just going, God, what do you want to do here? Like, why am I doing this? Do you want me to do this? And it was like, yes. I was like, okay, how do you want to do this? Coming a few months out, I was bamboozled as to how I can get people who haven't seen each other, some people for 30 years, some for, you know, we haven't seen since the 20, to actually care to come back to do this. And I went for this big long walk and I came back and I was praying and God just gave me all these ideas, like all these fantastic ideas. And I did them, and it was seriously just the most amazing weekend last weekend. I met up with a friend who lives in Newcastle, who I haven't seen since year 9, which is 33 years ago, right? And they're Christian, you know, walking with the Lord, blah, 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 but had been dealing with a whole lot of stuff from their past, and Dubbo was a part that they hadn't dealt with yet. And this was being organised at the same time as God's moving on them to start dealing with this stuff. So they're like, yep. And like, do you really want me to go? Because I'll probably ugly cry. I'm like, God can do what he wants. If you want to ugly cry, let's ugly cry, you know. So he went and then went to this town outside of Dubbo, and there was you know, they ran into someone who actually wasn't meant to be there. They don't live in that town anymore. They just happened to be there at the same time as we were driving past. Like, and, you know, turn up at this reunion and people, and another guy, Christian guy, was like, you'll never believe I pulled up and I ran into someone who I hadn't seen in 20 years. And it was just like this whole thing of God just going bang, 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 and just moving in this place. It was a Christian school, but probably about half the people were Christians, half weren't. But it was such a safe place. And I just went, I'm just so grateful that I was like being obedient to God, but that God just showed up and I just felt like he breathed on this thing and people were just so blessed by the whole thing. And this is, you know, I'm just so grateful that God chose me, I guess, and chooses me to do this and him to use me as a vessel. So just want to encourage you. Things like that, like a reunion, like not in church, whatever God is talking to you about, do it and just see what he does.
Awesome, Lockie. Cool. Go to Sarah and just one more afterwards. After Sarah.
My heart is beating fast. I don't usually talk in a microphone. But it's just a sign to that Holy Spirit want me to give this testimony. A month ago, I was tested my faith in God in financially, and it was huge test for me that I get to really rely on God. Well, usually I'm the person if I don't have like certain amount of money in my bank account, I don't feel secure. And that day, I really have to give up. Like when I say huge amount, it's like more than $100,000 come out of my bank account, and I feel like I'm going to die. Like, how am I going to survive with my daughter? And then God really tests me, like, all right, now only $50 left in my bank account. How am I going to stretch this out? And we went to the shopping for grocery and went with my daughter, and we were just going to get grocery and gas. Everything is so expensive. How am I going to pass out this test? I said, I won't be able to pass this test, Lord. Let's just, I'm going back and forth with my daughter. Meat is so expensive, darling. Let's just not meet for this week. And, you know, and I said to God, God, I just want to be obeyed. I just want to be obeyed to you. I said to God, and then we came out. And then miraculously, like in the weekend, a friend of us from church said, hey, Sarah, I'm going to drop off something at your house. And I was so on out of God's work. Like, he's really alive for us. And a friend of us dropped off meat worth of 6 months. He said, Sarah, the Lord told us to drop off this meat, that your family needs meat. And I go, how? That's very awesome. God is very faithful.
Yeah, amen.
And I just want to be obeyed to him.
Amen. He looks after his children. He knows what he's doing. Maybe just one more. We've got time for one more. If not, that's fine. Well, we've got two more. Mimi, did you want to go first?
It's an ongoing story, and quite a few people here have been walking with me in it and praying with me. One of my daughters is a single mum, has two kids in their early 20s, and been for the last 18 months or so really viciously harassed and abused verbally by neighbours, and it's really quite stressful for her. So I suggested we really need to pray about this and ask God to bring angels to protect you from all of this harm that could come to you. And my daughter used to go to church, and she hadn't been going for quite a few years, and the kids stopped going ages ago. So we've been praying, and in recent month or so, Bex said, I think I'll go and see what that church is like up the road. And it's been good. And she knew some of the people there still. And her son is also interested in going and has been a few times. She asked him yesterday, what are you going to do tomorrow? Because he's a really mad keen skateboarder. And thinking that's what will be the answer, he said, oh, yeah, maybe I'll do that in the afternoon, but I think I'll go to church first. And I reckon all the harassment and the abuse is nothing in comparison to the hope that we have in him.
Amen. So good. All right, Betty, you're the lucky last. Last but not least, you're full of God's goodness and his testimonies, but you have to keep it to a couple of minutes, if that's possible.
Okay, well, so yesterday I had an appointment with a psychologist because I'm going, ah, no. So yesterday afternoon I had an appointment with a psychologist and she kind of came across like, what you're doing is not sustainable financially, and it's not really practical or sensible or whatever. Like, see, since October last year, that's 7 months ago, I've been on 6 cruises, 2 weeks at a time, 6 cruises on a ship. Why? Because God, all of a sudden, he says, who was this? All of a sudden, now is your time. 70 years I've had dreams and desires and things I've wanted to do. When I was working as a telephonist, I used to go down the Beatty River and I'd picture Jesus and the disciples walking beside the river. And I was there with them. And we were doing things that Jesus does. Okay. Now's my time. 58 years later, all of a sudden God's opened up. Now is your time, Betty. So I go on these cruises, and the reason I go on the cruise is not to see the world, not to have my bed made every day, but that's great, is to be there for the crew members who for months on end, some of them go 9 months, they don't go home. They work 12-hour shifts and they do more than one job. Not everybody appreciates what they do and lets them know in no gentle way. And God has me there to be Jesus to them. I just walk up the corridors and go sit on the lounge and have a spider, you know, ice cream in a glass with lemonade on top. And one of the crew members will come over and say, hi, Betty, how you going? No, we're fine. You? Well, this stuff happened at home with my mum last week. Didn't know me from a bar of soap. She opens up because my prayer was, Lord, when I'm on this ship, I want to be you. I want you to live through me. And that's what's drawing the people to come to me, Betty, for Jesus to show himself to them. And they can share their life with me and know it doesn't go no further. It doesn't go to the boss. Doesn't, you know, if they're complaining about their work conditions or anything. And I can be a hug. I can be a smile. A few times I've been able to share the gospel, words-wise. And you're incredible, you know that? I never had a brother, physically, you know, biological brother, but boy, I've got some now. And this one shows me Jesus like no other.
Thank you, sister. God is willing to use us more than we want to be used. Okay.
Well, no, so all that to say that all glory to God. I'm alive. I've never been alive. I've never been happy. But I am. This last 7 months has been incredible. God is so good to me.
Amen. He is good. All right. We are now going to do communion, or are we going to finish now, Brad? I'll just get the captain up here.
Yeah, we'll do communion as an entree to morning tea. I just want to respect the people who have gone to an effort to bless us with morning tea and invite you to be generous with yourselves in connecting with people. If we can start the AGM at 22, and I'll do my level best to make sure we're still finished by 12. But yeah, just wanted to, just on your way out, if we can enjoy communion, because, you know, all the testimonies here are all a result of people who have allowed Jesus to be king of their heart. Jesse, if I could get that passage up that I asked you to put up, and you know, Jesus is king of our heart, and Jesus's coronation was a pretty unusual one, where he had a crown of thorns put on his head, and he endured unimaginable suffering because he loves you, because he wants you to have the life that he promises, that he invites us into. And so I'll invite you, just to, as we finish our time together, just to come through, and there's gluten-free bread in the small bowl and bread and wine. But just a reminder, as Paul encouraged us in 1 Corinthians 11, that on the same night the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread in his hands, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Keep doing this so that you and all who come after will have a vivid reminder of me." And after they finished dinner, he also took the cup, and in the same way said, "This cup is the new covenant, the new agreement executed in my blood. Keep doing this, and whenever you drink it, you and all who come after me will have a vivid reminder of me. Every time you taste this bread and every time you place the cup to your mouths and drink, you are declaring the Lord's death, which is the ultimate expression of his faithfulness and love until he comes again." Amen. And just as we physically put these elements into our body, the same way, what Jesus wants more than anything is for him to live inside of us and live through us. So I just bless you all with an encouragement of those testimonies of just people just letting Jesus be king of their hearts, being obedient to him, and seeing the kingdom of heaven outworked in real life in 2024 in the Hunter. So may that be your reality this week again, in Jesus' name.